At the right praise you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Is he wonderful? Yes, he is. I want to thank God for everyone that is present tonight. Tonight is a healing service, meaning that we're going to trust God and believe God for healing. For those that are here and those that are listening today and in the days to come. Amen? In fact, I've not spoken about this publicly until now. Every last Sunday of the month, until the Lord says differently, the evening services are going to be healing services. So you can have that marked out. Invite the sick. The Lord is still in the healing business. Amen? Praise the Lord. Father, we are thankful for your presence here. We're thankful that every time we come into your presence, we are positioned to experience wonders. We'll be shocked, not because we did not believe, but to experience your awesome power as you do things in us, with us, through us, by us, and for us. Lord, O God, I thank you that all strongholds are shattered and destroyed, and your exalted name is exalted in this place, in our lives, this day, and always. In our sovereign Lord's name, we call it so done. In Yeshua's name, amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Well, this evening, I want to share with us about the last miracle that the Lord Jesus Christ, the last healing miracle that is recorded that the Lord Jesus Christ did. Amen? Hallelujah. So come with me to the Gospel of John, the 18th chapter, the Gospel of John, chapter 18. To give us some context, I am going to start the passage from I'll just take it from the very beginning. The verses that I need are verse 10 and 11. The Bible says, when Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Kedron, where was a garden, into the which he entered and his disciples. This is at the end of things. He is going to the Garden of Gethsemane. And the Bible tells us, in verse 2, it says, and Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place. He knew the place, for Jesus oftentimes resorted thither with his disciples. So this was a very familiar place. This was a place where Jesus went to pray quite often. Why he did that is rather obvious. Gethsemane was a place of olives. And right there was a crushing of olives and the oil of the olive. And it was maybe a way of the Lord Jesus Christ stepping in and reminding himself of what his purpose was. that he, the Christ, the anointed one, was going to be crucified. Many times we run away from our purpose or anything that reminds us of our purpose and destiny. But I'm convinced that one of the things that God does for us is he brings us back to that which we are called to do. Amen? To remind us, this is your calling. Don't forget it. This is your calling. This is your purpose. This is your assignment. And so he comes there and he spends time praying. He did that often. But because it was a particular place where Jesus, when he comes to Jerusalem, spends time at, Judas knew the place. If I'm going to find him, that's where he's going to be. So the Bible tells us, Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and the Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Isn't that amazing? He comes with lanterns, torches, and weapons. I find that remarkable because lanterns and torches are meant to expose so that you don't stumble. And what the enemy does, a traitor will always bring a forensic thing to show all your flaws. Well, Jesus is flawless. Hallelujah. But he comes with that, and he comes with weapons. He brings all these people. Now, in the natural, we'll assume that that would be the case. But why does the Bible zero in and tell us about what things he came with? Because he's trying to show to us what a Judas will do. A Judas will try to forensically expose you so that he can damage you as best as possible. The Bible continues. It says, Jesus, therefore, knowing all things, he didn't need anybody with lanterns. He is a light, and he knows everything. He doesn't need to carry a torchlight, a flashlight. He doesn't need to carry anything. He knows, he sees, he understands, and he sees the depths of the hearts of men. Even when we try to hide from God, God sees. Hallelujah. He's omniscient. The Bible says, Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth. He was not afraid. He knew what his assignment was. He went forth and said unto them, whom seek you? Who are you looking for? Oh, praise the Lord. They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus said unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. And as soon as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backwards and fell to the ground. I wish I was a stunt artist. I would have done it for you today, but at my age, you might need some help getting me back up. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. They just fell. Just by the pronouncement, I am. Who are you looking for? I am he. Bang. They fell to the ground. Wiped out. Peter sees this. He sees what has just happened. Jesus spoke. They fell down. And he picks up deep courage. To do what? To cut somebody's ears off. He just grabs his sword and he goes after somebody. Well, let me not get too ahead of myself. Then ask he them again. Because if they stay down, he's not going to end up in the cross. Too much power. So he dialed down the power. Hallelujah. He dialed it down and says, tell me, who are you looking for? Whom seek ye? And they said, from their fallen state, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way. You looking for me? Let the others go. Meaning his disciples. He'd gone into the Gethsemane to pray. And while he's praying, he'd come down. He came and went further with Peter, John, and James, and went even further past them. And he comes back to watch them, and they're all snoring. Like we saw Peter snoring this morning. They're all sleeping. And he says, hey, guys, can't you even just tarry with me for 1 hour and just pray? Come on. I need some assistance here. I need you guys to pray. But no, he leaves. He keeps on interceding. He's talking to God. And he's saying, God, if you can take this cup away from me, I'll like it. You know, it's one thing for you to be in the olive garden of Gethsemane and see the crushing that takes place. It's another thing for you to feel pain. The Bible tells us that Jesus is so stressed by this experience that his pores started to bleed. Blood was coming, instead of sweat, blood was coming out of his body. Because of the agony of what he's about to experience, I don't think that it was as much of the pain of the cross and the torment that he was going to go through that was a challenge. But the one thing that was a challenge for him, I believe, was uttered at that cross when he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The fact that he was going to be separated, because sin separates us from God. Sin separates us from the presence of God. And all of his life, he's never been separated from the Father. And to know that sin was going to bring about a separation, that was a challenge. In fact, the Bible tells us that while he was on the cross, it was like God turned his face away because God cannot behold sin. And there was total darkness. Things were happening. God hates sin. But God turned his face back because mercy was speaking. God turned his face back. Jesus is not the sinner. He's not the embodiment of sin as other men were. He was taking on my sins and my reproach. He who knew no sin became sin for us. God looks at his son and he saw what he did not want to see. Can you imagine all the evil that is happening in the world today? All of it dumped on Jesus, the sinless Son of God. Why? Because of me, because of you, because of us, because of the world. But God so loved the world that he still, knowing that the only way for redemption was by judgment coming upon his Son, the one that he was one with, still allowed it. All the sickness, all the diseases, everything was upon Jesus. He took it on. What caused the Father to turn away from his Son for a moment that caused Jesus to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why is it that we celebrate it? Why do we celebrate sin? When it caused God, the Father, to do something he's never done before. He had seen sin in the lives of men. That's why he sent his Son. But to see his Son, see himself, because the Father and the Son are one. To see that corruption, yikes. And Jesus responded. And Jesus knew while he was going through all of that, what that could mean. When he gets to the cross, was he going to be angry and unforgiven? And was that going to be the breaking point for him? You never know what you're going to do until you are in the heat of the situation. Remember, Jesus didn't hang on the cross as God. He hung on that cross as the last Adam, as man. What am I going to do? When push comes to shove, am I going to be unforgiven? No, 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 no. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Because you see, until he finished the assignment, he was liable to blow it. And if he blew it, he will be forever removed from the Father. Sin would have separated him. Jesus took a mighty risk for my salvation. Amen. That was the power of love working. Anyhow, Judas knew where he was. And the Bible says in John 18 and verse 8, just to recap, Jesus answered, I have told you that I'm he. If therefore you seek me, let those go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled, which he spake of them which thou givest me, have I lost none. I didn't lose anyone. Then Simon Peter. Remember, those guys are still on the ground. They've fallen. Grabs his sword. And he goes and smote the high priest's servant or slave, and cut off his right ear. The Bible is very specific. Cut off the right ear. The right ear. Then tells us The servant's name was Malchus. I find that interesting because Malchus means king or kingdom. This is the irony. The slave has the name of a king. Just like you and I are called to be great, but many times we are mediocre. But God wants to do a new thing. Hallelujah. He wants to reestablish us by His grace into a new level of supernatural experience in Him. So here's Malchus, right here is cut off. I know for sure Peter was not planning on just cutting off the right ear. He wanted to split that guy in two. Well, praise God for mercy. only the right ear came off. And Jesus responds. Jesus says unto Peter, put up thy sword into the sheath. Put it back. In Matthew chapter 26 and verse 52 to 54, this same thing is being said. Then said Jesus unto him, put up again thy sword into his place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Matthew gives us another aspect of what Jesus was saying. In Luke chapter 22, verse 49, we hear, he says, when they which were about him saw what would follow, they said unto him, Lord, shall we smite with the sword? The disciples are asking, shall we smite with the sword? And one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. And Jesus answered and said, suffer ye thus far. In essence, in our language today, Jesus said, stop that. What are you doing? Cutting off people's ears. Don't you know that if you're carrying the sword and using it this way, you're going to perish by the sword? What are you doing? Understand this, if I needed your help, I could have called on myriads of angels. But I have to fulfill my assignment. And you're trying to stop me from fulfilling my assignment. Stop that. And the Bible says, and he touched his ear and healed him. Praise the Lord. Jesus touched the ears of Malchus, his right ear. And Malchus' hearing is restored. This was the last miracle of healing that Jesus did. Touching a young man that was a slave, but who had the name of a king. And this is going to be what happens a few days later, after the day of Pentecost. There is a man at the beautiful gate. He's at the beautiful gate, but he's been crippled all of his life. The irony of it. He's sitting at a place that is beautiful, but his life was not. God started a new thing because he was saying, listen, I'm here to change the status of people's lives. And one of the last things that must happen for us to have that change is the hearing, the capacity to hear. For the word of God says, faith comes by what? Hearing. And so what does the enemy want to do? Cut off your ears so that you don't hear. And that way you will keep on staying in the place of enslavement, stay in the place of imprisonment, stay in the place of limitation. But today, Jesus Christ is healing ears that have been cut off, even if they've been cut off by religious people. And sometimes that's where the cutting comes off. Zim! All these people, they don't deserve God. They should go to hell. That's not our assignment. Our assignment is to depopulate hell and populate heaven. Hallelujah. That's what we're called to do. If you're going to carry this sword, which is the word of God, then let it be the sword that brings healing and deliverance to the masses. The preaching of the word of God. The manifestation of the glory of God. And today, I am believing God for restoration of healing, the healings of people's hearing, whether it is spiritual or physical. I don't remember what country I was now, but it was a South American country or Central America somewhere. I was with my spiritual father. And he will do the preaching time and ministry time, and he will tap on me or one of my other fellow brothers and to pray for the sick. A good number of times he will tap on me to come and pray for the sick. And he'd left the building. And I was just about to leave. I think I have the picture somewhere of this particular story. I wish I can access it. I'm not that computer literate to find things that easily. And there was this lady, deaf in both ears. Deaf in both ears. They brought her to me and said, "This lady is deaf in both of her ears." I said to her, "You're going to hear now." And I stepped away and I went, "Did you hear that?" "Huh? I heard." So I said, I changed positions with her. I said to her, "Walk away from me and tell me how many times you hear me clapping or making a sound." And she walked away from me. She goes, "Go on, Father." And this woman comes back and she says, "All of my family, all of my sisters, we are all deaf. All deaf, all of them." I think she had about 5 sisters, all deaf. I said, where are they? They are home, but we are all deaf. And so I said to her, "Even as God has healed you now, God heals them all in Jesus' mighty name." Amen? And I left. And the Lord is reminding me of another one. I was in London. Papa had left also. And I had one of my spiritual sons with me. There was a worship leader, one of the worship people in the worship team. She'd been deaf in one ear all of her life. I don't know how she was and worshiped him, but she was. And my spiritual son was with me, She's looking away, and I go. Now, when I say I go, it means that I did not spend time praying. Because God heals in spite of my praying. He doesn't need me to pray. Amen? He knows what the problem is, and he knows the agenda. Praise the Lord. And here comes this. She can hear on both ears. God had healed her. One of these days, I'm going to have that spiritual son. Actually, he spoke in one of our, not this last January, but the January before. That'll be 21? He was one of our speakers during those January stretch of time. God healed, and he is flipping. How on earth did that happen? That fast? Well, what is slow about God? Nothing. All we really need to do is just receive the miracles of God. Really, that's all we need to do. The fact is that many times there are things that have blocked our capacity to receive. We used to how things are, or we have been prayed for or with so many times that you already, when you even believe in to receive your healing, you are believing not to receive it. Because you know, well, maybe it's not going to work. Well, get rid of that monkey on your back. Just recognize God is a healer, and I find no reason why he will not heal me. Amen? There's absolutely no reason why he wouldn't. Why would he not want to heal me when by his stripes he already tells me that I'm healed? Healing is for the children. Is that what the Word of God says? Hello? Yeah. Healing is for the children? Are you a child of God? Yeah. Then healing is yours. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Even my grandkids know that when they come to Papa Lolo's house, the fridge belongs to them. They just go and get whatever it is they want to get. Hello? You know, children teach us a lot. I've not seen a child growing up who will say, that's my dad's car. They will say, that's my car. They don't know how to drive, but it's their car. Why? Because it belongs to their father or their mother, and because they are part of the family, it belongs to them. Children know how to take hold. And Jesus, our Lord, says, if you want to enter and experience kingdom experience, you got to be like a little child. It's yours. Take it. Hallelujah. You don't have to wait for me to lay hands on you until your wig falls off and we know that you have... I'm messing around now. No, just take what God says is yours. It's yours. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He paid the price for it. If somebody buys you a nice Rolls Royce and says, here are the keys, it is paid for, and you leave that Rolls Royce in the showroom, 2 things have happened. It is yours, but it's not yours. It is yours, but it's not yours, because you have not gone to claim it. God has given you the ticket. You have the right ticket, and the ticket says healing paid for. Hallelujah. Your responsibility, my responsibility, is just go and take it. the healing is mine, and go home healed, restored, made whole. It is yours. It is that easy for God because he's already paid for it. Don't let his payment be wasted because he didn't go take the merchandise that have been paid for. Hello? I find that the most difficult people to get healed many times are believers. Yeah. Because they talk themselves out of it. A non-believer hears the word of God, says, "Oh, this is really good. I take it." And they get healed. And it's not new. Even in the days of Jesus Christ, it was so. The centurion pulled, in fact, upgraded his healing for the servant. And Jesus says, "Wow, I've not seen this kind of faith. Not amongst my own children." This Syrophoenician woman got her miracle. Just like that. Even when she was being rejected and being pushed away, she says, "You say I'm not qualified? You say I'm a dog? And we don't cast the bread that belongs to the children to dogs?" But let me ask you a question. If the children are busy messing around with the food, some of the bread falls down on the ground, can the dogs eat that? Jesus says, "Sure. We're not going to throw it in the garbage. The dogs can get it." Well, the crumb that came off of that whole bread is the same as the one that's on the floor. And the woman got a healing for her own daughter. Miracles happen. Jesus says, "I've not seen this kind of faith. Not amongst my own people. My own children." Today, we are not going to be people that languish in unbelief. Part of why people that are believers stay sick is because somebody's cut off their ability to hear by telling them, "If it be God's will, you'll be healed." If it be. Well, it is God's will. There's no ifs about it. I take my healing. Hallelujah. I take it. I receive it. It's mine. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Tonight, we're going to do something. The best way for healing to be received is by receiving the spoken word. He sent his word and he healed and delivered his people from their destructions. Because sickness and disease is a conduit for destruction. Sickness will destroy your finances. You know, there are people who are taking pills that's costing them $20,000, $30,000, $40,000. And that's even the generic. That's a lot of money going down the drain. We can do a lot with that amount of money that's going down the drain. And I believe that God would rather have you invest that in seeing lives transformed rather than you putting stuff inside of your body that mask the problem. God wants us healed and God wants us well. Every withhold. Amen? That's what God wants. What do you want? What do you want? He wants to change the narrative. As he changed the narrative for Malchus, he wants to change the narrative for us. I am certain, I don't know, but I'm certain that that Malchus that was a slave to the high priest. Oh, wow, that's good. Thank you, Lord. I believe, I don't know where the Holy Spirit was going on with that, but he got me on this path, and as I stepped into it, he revealed it fully to me. He, Malchus, was a slave to the high priest. Yeah? Guess what happened to Malchus? Malchus is released. Because Malchus becomes a reminder to the high priest that Jesus healed, delivered, and set free. And he did not want that reminder. He wants to stay in his sin. Go. Hey, you free. Go, go, go. Ha. I didn't know that. The Holy Spirit just told me that's what happened to Malchus. And gave me the reason to know why. Hallelujah. Now he can answer his name, and the king in him can now live out life. I'm going to go and do some more research on Malchus to find out the full details of this man's life. Praise the Lord. But the Holy Spirit said, Malchus was set free. He was no longer a slave, and gave me the reason why. May God change the story of your life. Amen? Hear the voice of the Lord and be changed. Hallelujah. Amen. Enough of the talking. Now I want to pray for those that are sick. I'm going to lay hands. That is not my method of operation. But for some people, that might just be the way they're going to receive what they need to receive. So I'm going to pray for you today, believing God for a miracle for you. If you elect to just receive it by the spoken word, do so. But if you need to come up, I want to pray for you. And that is not a judgment on your faith. Because the word of God says, according to your faith, that's how it's going to be for you. For some people, you need to touch something. And that's important. That's just as important. Jairus said, come to my house. And Jesus went to Jairus' house. The centurion says, no, don't come to my house. Just speak the word only. Both of them received their miracles. Amen? We can receive our miracle. And I want you to understand this also, that a lot of the miracles happened because somebody stood in instead of another person. The centurion was asking for his servant. The Syrophoenician woman was asking for the daughter. The young man that was demonized in Mark chapter 9, the father was asking for the son and said, I believe, help thou my unbelief. Because you see, the reality is this. When your head is pounded, it is hard to believe. Somebody needs to believe. Give me the medication like right now. Just get rid of the pain. It is hard to be. Listen, are we real? When you are in the pain, it's not easy to be believing at that point.
Don't tell me your leg is broken and you're going to believe. No, somebody else believe for me now. Most of the miracles happen because somebody believed for somebody. Praise the Lord. So you can believe for somebody else that's in a mess already and say, Lord, I am believing for this person. And God, because of your faith, will do something for somebody else. Amen? Hallelujah. Okay, let's do this. Let's do this. Anybody coming up for prayer? Come quickly. I want to pray for you. Praise the Lord. Amen. The God of heaven, the creator of the heavens and the earth, who has spoken forth your healing, activate his anointings in your life now. Receive your miracle. By the stripes of Jesus, you are healed. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Receive your miracle in the mighty name of Jesus. By his stripes, you are healed. Somebody help me here. You were. Listen. Okay. Paul. Yeah. Thank you. Receive your miracle. In Jesus' name, be healed. Amen. Praise God. Receive it. Receive it. Receive it. Receive it. Receive it. By the authority of the Word of God. Could you get the cloth? Let God's healing anointing flow through your body right this very moment. Let everything that needs to be corrected speedily and efficiently. Be made every whit whole. The hand of the Lord is upon you. Hallelujah. See that. Feel the hand of the Lord. See that. Receive it. Receive it. Receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. God's healing graces flow through you. Let every activity of the enemy be destroyed now in the mighty name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. He's the Lord that heals you. Be restored in your health. From the crown of your head to the very soles of your feet, let God's healing power flow through you now. In Jesus' mighty name, receive your testimony. Receive your miracle. Let your mess become a message. Let your test now become a testimony to the glory of God. In the name of Jesus. I speak your healing. Receive it by the authority of the Word of God. By the authority of the Word of God. By the authority of the Word of God. Power flow through you now. From the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. Receive it. Receive it. Receive it. Father, I thank you that you that have marked out this day for healings, Lord, O God, let there be manifestation of your healing grace in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. The Lord heal you. Amen. The Lord restore you. Amen. The Lord make you every whit whole. Amen. May the cries of your heart now be addressed by the faithfulness of God. Amen. Your needs met in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' name, receive it. Please help her up. In the name of Jesus. Heart change. Father, manifest your glory in this, your son. Do with him great and mighty things. Reveal yourself in your healing grace in his life right now. Receive your healing in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Let the anointing of the Lord break, destroy every yoke. Let every form of sickness, disease, limitation cease because of the manifestation of God's will in your life. Let that which God has done already in the heavens be manifested in the earth, in your physical body. Wholeness, 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 wholeness for your spirit, for your soul, for your body. In the name of Jesus, give me your hands. And may these hands be conduits through which healing will flow. In the name of Jesus, I call you blessed. Amen. Yokes are destroyed. Burdens are lifted off of you. Receive it. Receive it. Receive it. Receive it. In Jesus' name. Receive your miracle. Receive your testimony. Be made every with whole. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you. Father God, behold your daughter. Manifest your glory in her. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Behold. Behold. In the name of Jesus. Receive your miracle in the mighty name of Jesus. Let hurts melt out of your memory, out of your mind, out of your body. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. I call you every withhold now, that the splendor of God's glory will continually flow in you and through you. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Father, I bless this son. I thank you for your anointing on his life. Thank you, Lord. Your grace is sufficient. Your power is made available. And this day, I declare, O God, that his calling and purpose, his destiny, Lord, O God, will be backed up with the resources of heaven. Every limitation removed out of the way. And Jesus is Lord in every realm of his life. I call you blessed. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Father, for your daughter. Lift from her shoulders weights that are cumbersome. Touch her heart. Touch her mind. And restore health to her and to her household. You are God in this vessel. Give me your hands. Today I pronounce by the authority of the Word of God that your hands will carry the healing anointing, that your assignment and purpose continually be fulfilled. God called you into the realm of medicine and you're not retired. He now uses it differently. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise God. I won't talk to you. Don't leave until I talk to you.
Can I take my hearing aids out?
Yeah, do what you need to do.
Something's been happening, so God's doing
something. Receive it. Receive it. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Go that way. Tell me what you hear. What do you hear? How many times? That's right. You got it right.
Go again?
Yeah. Did you hear that? You didn't hear that?
Yes.
Did you hear that?
Yes.
How many times?
Yes.
One. Let's go. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You heard all of that without the hearing aid.
What?
You heard it without the hearing aid.
Amen.
Okay. Amen. Praise God. God is good. Amen. Well, that's what we're called to do today. The next healing service is going to be at the end of the last Sunday of July. And I'm expecting God to do something with each of our lives. Amen? Hallelujah. And there will be healing whether I'm in this building or not in this building. Because that's a marked time. That's an appointed time. Amen? So we will receive the healing graces of God. Hallelujah. I bless those that are listening online. I release God's healing anointing. Let it flow into your life like a river right this very moment. And let it be healings in the mind, healings in the physical body, healings of neurons, healings of nerves, healings for organs in the body.